And thanks for tuning in to KRBD Ketchikan. I'm Maria Dudzak, and I'm joined in the studio by Carmel Anderson, who has a show that is coming up on Thursday, and that will be discussed more during the Arts Report. But it is about foster care, and we're going to have a little discussion, I guess, about foster care this morning, and I guess what brought you to want to do this exhibit and your experiences with foster care.
Yes. Thank you, Maria, for having me. The name of the show, and it's actually a two-part show, is called Foster Love, Foster Care. And it was inspired by my being a foster sister to three foster girls. And so the art I do is on Unheard Voices, Unheard Wisdom. And I just came back to foster children and my passion for these children who really are unheard, and why it's important to focus on this issue, because it's complex.
So when you were younger, your family took in foster kids?
Correct. We had three foster sisters. I have brothers that were twins that were just slightly younger than me, and so my mom thought it would be nice for me to have a sister. And my mom loves to help people. And so we had, the first one was in for a short stay, and she was wonderful, and we really enjoyed having her as part of the family for a short period. And then actually went to a home, and that did not gel, but then went to another home, and she invited my mother to her wedding. So it was really kind of ended up as a nice story where she was adopted into a family.
Have you yourself ever been a foster parent?
I have not, and I'm sad to say that. My husband and I talked about it over the years, and we just moved enough times that we did not. But I feel like this is kind of my give back, is creating this work that helps bring conversations and awareness to foster care.
And what were the experiences like, I guess, having foster sisters? I imagine there are the good times and the bad times with any sibling.
Yeah, and it's very interesting as a child, and now with all the reading, I did a lot of research. I try to really talk to experts and really look at the topic, and I don't present myself as an expert, but someone who has a passion for it. And that is why I like to bring other people into the conversation about it and have collaborative pieces where people share their stories in all my shows and spend a lot of time talking to people about it. So it's interesting, with my knowledge I have now as an adult, looking back as a child, how, you know, at the time I didn't really understand it. And I think in a different way, you know, I'm now 61. So when I grew up, it was in the 60s. And we didn't have social media and the news and everything. So I think I was definitely more sheltered or a little naive, you know, a little more innocent to the evils of the world, then I think, unfortunately, a lot of children now kind of lost that. So looking back, I didn't understand the hard times these families were going through. I just saw the child. And one of the girl's dad came and visited her. And I still remember that. I remember he wore a suit and he took a bus to our house to visit her. And so there's memories like that. But I didn't fully understand why they couldn't be with their families. One of the girls was very angry, and looking back now, I'm sure she had a lot of trauma, but, you know, I didn't understand that fully. But I did understand that they were innocent children who didn't pick those situations. You know, I saw that they were displaced, you know, that they came into a stranger's home, and they were part of our family, but, you know, it was it's something that they didn't choose, and very confusing for me and for them. I mean, I enjoyed them, but I guess that's what's my heart's out for these kids, is because the kids don't have a voice in these situations, and a lot of things happen to them, and it's hard. And, you know, advocates work hard. There's a lot of caring people, but it's just really hard to take a child and out of their home and place them in another home and know what goes on, you know, and knows how to care for them and love them and past traumas. And so, yeah, I just have a heart. I have a heart for these children, because I say often nobody chooses to be a foster child.
And what age were you when these kids came in to your home?
I was in elementary school for the first two. The last one was quite different because I was in middle school and she was a lot younger. So I was more like a big sister or baby, you know, age to take care of her. And she was with us the longest and really the one that pulled my heart the deepest because it was a very special connection. She was a very sweet girl.
Mm-hmm. And then what happens to these children? They get placed in homes?
Yeah, the first one ended up being, that one we knew was temporary, and she ended up being adopted. The second one, interesting, you know, I unfortunately lost a brother at a young age, and she sent flowers saying my brother. We did not stay in touch at that time period. They go through different cycles, but that period they really discouraged you from being in contact with the people. And so they were kind of taken out of your life and you didn't really hear. And that was before internet and such. Now they're much better about keeping families connected. So that's what happened with my third sister, is she was quickly removed and went to a different state with a family member.
Okay, and I understand there is a huge need, I have been hearing about this, for foster parents everywhere really, but Ketchikan specifically, I hear there's a lot of need in this area.
There's a huge need across Alaska. They saw a huge spike with the opiate addiction issues and a huge rise where they saw different kids coming into the system than they had previously. So, you know, maybe some that were financially more stable and then got addiction issues and the parents' lives fell apart. And now with COVID, it has really, really caused a huge need for all our children in the community.
Okay. We were going to have a representative here, I guess, to help talk more about the need and about experiences. But that didn't happen. So I don't want to put you on the spot and ask you too many questions about it. But is there other information about foster care that you could give folks?
Well, what we can give is encourage, and we're going to be talking about this next week and having people who are experts on it, but of a conversation. Because we do feel like everybody has input on what can happen, and statistics and KIC will be representing some of their needs. They obviously have issues on, like all of us, with foster care, but then also trying to place in tribal homes. And so several of theirs, people will be speaking out more on that and that need. And just locally, that I think it's one of those things that it's... Keith Smith is going to be doing a presentation on the viewpoint of the foster kids at the community conversation to share with that. But I think if people come to these events and see and meet people to understand that, I think it's a daunting thing to step into. But once you realize really what these kids want is love and attention, structure. The Garcias were going to be here, and they're very big on structure. And at first I didn't understand it. And the more, again, research I do, is just these kids need routines of consistency and love, that they know these people will care and be there for them. And a lot of them, you know, they just want forever homes. They want stability. You know, they don't talk about big things. One of the stories for a foster kid that really hit me is when we lived in Wisconsin, and this little boy, I knew he was in foster care, but I didn't really connect it fully. And he was a classmate of one of my daughters. And I said, hey, we'll take in a bike trip sometime. Now, for my family, that's a nice thing, but we do quite a bit of activities, right? And so we got busy. And I saw him like a couple months right before we were leaving, and he said, you never took me on the bike ride. And that just wrenched my heart, like how they hold on to simple things of going on a bike ride. And that's things community members can help out with. You know, they can take foster child fishing. They can take, you know, mentor a foster child. So a lot of the things that we can do, we can all step in and do and help and just give that love and guidance and that believe in me type thing is what I think a lot of the children are longing for, is just to know they care, to know they matter, to share their day with somebody, to guide them. One woman who grew up in foster care said, you know, I never, and she was not, hers was a complicated situation. So she was not placed with a family member that probably she shouldn't have been. And she said, you know, I just didn't learn social skills. I didn't learn basic things in life. And I think, you know, like any child, they just long for hope, for a chance at success, a chance of fulfilling their dreams and living a fulfilling life. And so as community members, we can come around and support people, even in small ways or opening our homes. And there are many positive stories of people, kids who went into a home and really changed their lives.
And we will on Monday be talking further about the community event that's coming
Correct.
Up. And on Thursday, we'll speak about your show.
Correct, in detail.
Is there anything else as we kind of wrap up here that you'd like to mention?
I just encourage the community members to come. This is a challenging topic, but it doesn't have to be one that they have to stay away from or shy away from. Just understanding it and knowledge is a gift to the foster community to just understand a little bit and to be able to give friendly words of encouragement. But the show is meant just to bring more awareness and conversation. And so that's why I encourage everybody to come, because it does apply. It is a community issue. So I'm encouraging all community members to come to the art exhibition and the community conversation.
Okay. And that Foster Love, Foster Care, again, we will speak more about that during the Arts Report on Thursday. That is opening this Friday. And the community conversation is May 12th, and we will have that information on the community calendar again next Monday. We'll speak to some people about that who will give more details. Thank you very much, Carmel.
Thank you.